Well, good morning and welcome back to the weekly broadcast from Independence Baptist Church. Now, we're so thankful you're able to join us this morning. And during last week's broadcast, we started a series on whether a person can lose their salvation. Now, in other words, will God save you and keep you eternally? Or you might say, can you have assurance that He has saved you and that He'll never let you go? Well, there is a lot to cover in that question. So before I take up any more of the time, let's turn the broadcast over to Pastor Reynolds so he can continue with our discussion on eternal security of the believer.
Some people are afraid of the doctrine of eternal security of the believer. Why? Because they are afraid that this doctrine will lead people to be careless about their lives. And therefore, they stress the possibility of a man losing his salvation after he has been saved and justified by faith. You see, they do not really pursue that thought to its logical conclusion. They do not see that it is a practical denial of the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are saved eternally because the sacrifice of Christ abides eternally. When I came to know the Lord Jesus Christ and put my trust in Him, not only were all my sins up to the day of my conversion forgiven, but all of my sins were forgiven for all eternity. One time, there was a lady that came up to me and said, I do not understand that thought at all. I cannot understand how that Christ died for the sins I committed up to the very time of my conversion. But you mean to tell me that Christ has died for my future sins as well? In reply, I asked this question. How many of your sins were in the past when Christ died on the cross? And I would ask you the same question. How many of your sins were in the past when Christ died on the cross? This lady was puzzled just for a moment. And then I could see her face when the light really broke in. And she said, how foolish I have been. Of course, all of my sins were future when Christ died for me. I had not committed any of them. And that's absolutely the truth. You see, God saw all of our sins, and God laid all these sins upon Jesus Christ. Therefore, when I trusted Christ, I was justified freely from all things. Do you say, does it make no difference then if a believer sins? Well, this is an entirely different question, and it would take a long time just to go into that one point. But here is something else to think about. The moment that you trusted in Christ as your own personal Savior, your responsibility as a sinner having to do with the judgment of God is ended for all eternity. But at that same moment, your responsibility of a child having to deal with a father in heaven begins. Now, if as a child you should sin against your father, God will have to deal with you about that, but as a father and not as a judge. There is a line of truth that stands by itself and does not contradict what I'm now teaching. It explains some things that bewilder people when this doctrine is brought before them. We base the doctrine of the eternal security of the believer upon the preservation and the omnipotent power of the Holy Spirit of God. Look in Philippians 1, verse number 6. Writing to the saints, the apostle says, when he thanked them for their fellowship in the gospel from the first day unto now, the Bible states this, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Do you see that? Let me read it again. Philippians 1 and verse number 6. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Who began the good work in you if you are a real believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's plain, isn't it? The Holy Spirit of God was the one. It was He who convicted you of sin. It was He who led you to put your trust in Christ. It was He who through the Word gave you the witness that you were saved. It is He who has been conforming you to Christ since you first trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. Having thus taken you up in grace, the Holy Spirit has a definite purpose in view. He is evidently going to conform you fully to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. And He never begins a work that He does not intend to finish. Being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. That's what the Bible says in Philippians 1 and verse number 6. If when you were a poor sinner, the Holy Spirit had power sufficient to break down your opposition to God and to bring an end to your disbelief and your rebellion, do you think for one instant that He does not have enough power to subdue your will as a believer and carry on the completion of the work that He began? People might say to me, well, I see that you're a believer in that old Baptist doctrine of once in grace, always in grace. Another says, I understand that you hold that old Presbyterian idea of the final perseverance of the saints. I really don't know why this should either be called a Baptist or a Presbyterian doctrine, only to the extent that Baptists and Presbyterians agree with the book, the Bible. The Word of God clearly shows that once God takes up grace, nothing, absolutely nothing, can separate us from the love of Christ. So that evidently the expression once in grace, always in grace is a perfectly correct one. On the other hand, I am not so enthusiastic about the other expression, the perseverance of the saints. I believe in perseverance. I believe that all saints, all really belonging to God, will persevere to the end. For the Bible tells me that in Matthew 24 and verse 13. He that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And if a man starts out and makes a profession, but gives it all up, he will never be saved, because he was never born again to begin with. He was never really changed by grace divine. On the other hand, the reason he endures unto the end is not because of any particular perseverance of his own. What I believe in, and what the Word of God clearly teaches, is the perseverance of the Holy Spirit of God. When the Holy Spirit begins a work, the Holy Spirit never gives up until it is completed. This is our confidence. It is in God and not in us. 60 years ago, the Holy Spirit of God, by grace, led me to trust the Lord Jesus Christ. I've had many ups and downs since then. As the old folks used to sing in a camp meeting song, I'm sometimes up, I'm sometimes down, but still my soul am heavenly bound. I've had varied experiences, but the wonderful thing is this. The Holy Spirit of God has never given me up. And if at times I've been wayward and willfully, and I did not immediately bow to God and repent of my waywardness and willfulness, then I found I had to come under the rod, the Father's rod. He chastened me. He whipped me into subjection until I came to the place where I was ready to confess my failure and be restored to fellowship with Him. But I was just as truly His child while getting a good whipping as I was when the effects of it had restored me to fellowship. Your child does not cease to be your child when you have to have him bend over your knee and are using the slipper on him, when you have to spank your own child. It is because he is your child and because you want your child to grow up to be a well-behaved young person, that you do that. So we believe in the perseverance of the Holy Spirit of God, that having begun the work, He will carry it on until finally it is complete. We base the doctrine of the eternal security of the believer upon the fact of the new creation. In 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17, we read, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." That verse may be rendered like this: "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, this is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and all things have become new." What does the Bible mean when it says new creation? It means this: we were once in the place of death. We were utterly lost and ruined. Well, how did we get there? Now you listen real carefully. It was not by any act of my own. Understand? It was not by anything that I ever did that I was ruined. No. Do you say, I was not lost because of any act of my own? You mean I didn't cause myself to be lost? No, you were not. But why were you numbered among the lost? It's because you were born into the world a member of the old creation of which Adam, the first, was the head. And every child of Adam's race comes into the world lost and is under sentence of death. And so we read in verse number 14, "The love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge, if one died for all, then were all died." Let's make this very clear. Here is Adam the first, the head of the old creation. He was placed on trial in the Garden of Eden. The entire world was represented in him. I was also with him in that day, and you were as well. Adam failed, and God said, "In the day ye eat thereof, thou shalt surely die." As a result of that failure, the old creation fell down in death, and every person that has ever been born in the world since that time has died. No one has been born that would not die except the Lord Jesus Christ. And His birth was a supernatural one. Therefore, as members of the old creation, we were all dead. We were all lost. But now see what happened. Our Lord Jesus Christ came into the world, and Jesus Christ stood in the place of sinfulness. Adam was created sinless, but fell. Jesus came, the sinless one, conceived of the Holy Ghost, born of a virgin mother, but he saw men down here in death and on the cross. He went down into death, down to where man was, and came up. He was resurrected from the dead in grace. But he did not come up alone, for Christ has quickened us together with him, so that all who believe in him are brought up from that place of death. And as one time we were made partakers of Adam's race, so now we are made partakers of the new creation.
It is absolutely so amazing to know that God not only saved me, but He has promised to keep me and supply me with eternal life. Do I deserve it? Absolutely not. Not in the least. I didn't deserve to be saved in the first place, but He did it anyways. And the idea of eternal security just makes me want to follow Him even closer. Well, before our time slips away, we do want to remind you about our website and invite you to services. Our website address is independencebaptist.org. And our services will be starting at 10 a.m. this morning. And again, we're located at 124 South Main Street in Forestdale, Missouri. Now, thanks again for joining us, and we do look forward to meeting with you again next Sunday at 8 a.m. for another message about eternal security of the believer.